Hello and welcome to La Pausa Pod's annual alternative awards episode. That's quite a mouthful there, but these alternative awards have become so ubiquitous that they're almost mainstream now, because the majority of awards, you could probably pick Jude Bellingham, Player of the Year, Carlo Ancelotti, Manager of the Year. They all kind of decide themselves, but we decided that we would pick a number of statistical anomalies, some kind of different and fun stats that we have in Opta's database that we have access to, and we have created our own award ceremony. So Jamie has been digging deep into the archives of this season's statistical database, and he has come up with some really good ones for you today. So Jamie, have you had fun trawling through the data from this season?
Yeah, just making up these random awards that obviously don't fit into the orthodox award process. But yeah, like I said, I think we've got to kind of exclude the likes of Bellingham from these awards to make them a bit more interesting. So yeah, I've hidden my picks. Robbie has revealed a number of his, but I'm going to add the intrigue so I can hear the gasps on the other end of this call.
We've got a document going here with all the awards and stuff that we share during the podcast, and Jamie has all his stuff redacted. I'm expecting some fireworks here from Jamie. Just before we do get started, we had some fireworks yesterday when Tony Kroos announced he was retiring, and all season it looked like he was probably leaning more towards staying than going, but then all of a sudden yesterday we got news that he's retiring, and we're losing an incredible player from La Liga, one of the best central midfielders to ever do it. And one area of the field where I talk with my mates here in Spain about how Madrid are going to dominate for the next 10 years, and they literally could win anywhere up to 7, 8, 9 La Liga titles here in the next decade, given the squad that they have, the depth, the options. And I was saying the only thing that can trip them up is obviously injuries, motivational issues, stuff like that. But how they're going to replace Tony Kroos when that time comes, I didn't think it was going to be this soon. Just real quickly before we jump into the awards, Jamie, how do you see this affecting Real Madrid, and how do you see them replacing him?
Yeah, it's everything looks incredibly rosy for Real Madrid, like you said, at the moment. They know they've got Mbappe coming. They look set to dominate for quite a period of time, especially with Barcelona and Atletico's current state. But even then, losing Toni Kroos in the middle of that would make me a little bit scared as a Real Madrid fan, just to think what the football is going to look like after his departure. Because I've been thinking since yesterday, if I could pick any single midfielder in the world to come in and replace Kroos, I'm still genuinely not sure who I'd pick. I don't think there is anybody that could come in and replicate that particular role of just having games by the scruff of the neck, smoothing out their passages of play, you know, being so unbelievably efficient as a passer. It's one of those, I think you've just got to take on the chin and accept that there's going to have to be a change in the way that they play, especially midfield going forward, because yeah, like I said, there is no replicating what they're going to lose in this aspect. And they've got bags of money. They can go out and not buy Kylian Mbappe, but finance him. And you can buy all the star talent in the world, but I don't think you can really buy Toni Kroos's particular attributes of just being absolutely ice cold on the biggest stages, unbelievable passer across every single range, the experience he's got. There's just, you cannot go out and buy that in the market. So yeah, very intrigued to see what happens in the post-Kroos era.
Exactly. Like you said, they've got bags of speed, they've got bags of technical ability, they've got bags of depth, but that experience, the weight he has in the dressing room, the ice in his veins, it's not easy to go and just buy something like that, someone like that. So, and he's probably someone who we could have thrown into this first award. Maybe you have got him, I don't know. But we'll start off with our first award of the night is the You Can't Pick Jude Bellingham Player of the Year Award. Who did you go with here? Do you want to reveal my one? Will I reveal my one first?
You can go with yours, because while I did pick my while I did hide my selections, we have picked the same guy here. So off you go.
So I wrote, I think it has to be Savinho, because I was just thinking about it, and we kind of become numb, I guess, to how amazing it has been. And as humans, we tend to think that things that happen were inevitable all along. But looking back on this summer, we had absolutely no idea who Savinho even was. And now he's only gone and completed 102 dribbles this season, which, if you are following La Pausa Pod, which I hope you all are, you will know it is... He's the first player to do that while 21 or under since Lionel Messi in 2008 and 2009. Yes, that Lionel Messi. Like, this is just an incredible season. And to put it into comparison, Nico Williams, who is having an otherworldly season, he has completed 84 and is being linked with the biggest clubs that are in the world. There's talk of Nico Williams going supernova. And then Savinho just coolly, almost 20 completed dribbles more than him. I think this is just a season we're going to look back on when Savinho's 25, 26, 27 and think, do you remember that year when Savinho was just incredible?
Yeah, there is kind of a risk that we underrate just how good he's been. I think it's at that point, because considering his age, the context that he came into, having barely, I don't think he'd played a full season of senior football in Europe prior to this, had he? Pretty sure that's right. But again, yeah, I mean, if you can forgive the kind of arbitrary stats, just to the add to the 100 completed dribbles one, if you look at players who've done that and been directly involved in at least 15 goals in a La Liga season since 06-07, which covers Opta's database, the list is Lionel Messi, Neymar, Vinicius, and Savio. And Savio has done that in his first season, having only just turned 20. It's just, there's not much historical precedent for a guy having a season like this at his age and his experience level as well. And I think even just listening to Michel in recent weeks, managers never want to build up their players and inflate their egos, so they kind of are on the side of caution when they talk about them. But even then, I feel like listening to him recently, it's been he almost cannot believe how special a player he is, and he'll start talking about Savio and just lose himself in the sentence and just be like, he's just incredible, this guy. And I think we can all agree by this point that he is just incredible, and what a career he's got ahead of him potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just while we're talking about this, we've kind of become a little bit numb to just how good Vinicius Jr. is. He's only 23, and we could have easily thrown him into this award and along with Jude Bellingham, because there's an argument to be made that Bellingham hasn't been Real Madrid's best player throughout the season, and that just shows how good Vinicius is. If we take into account, obviously this is just La Liga we're taking into account, but obviously you can't just eliminate Champions League altogether. So Vinicius Jr. has just been incredible, but then you also got the caveat that he plays at Real Madrid, they attack more, there's more chances. So what Savinho has done playing with Girona is earns even extra bonus points. So yeah, I think Savinho just incredible, and I don't want this to turn into a Girona awards show here, because the reality is what they have done is just wild, and we probably underrate just how good that has been sometimes. So it'll be brilliant to see them in the Champions League football when we actually see them lining out on a Tuesday or Wednesday night in the Champions League next season. It's going to kind of hit home that they've actually gone and just done this. But yeah, we'll move on now to the next award, which is the This Guy Was Way Better Than Expected award. So who's the player who performed way beyond our preseason expectations? I guess Savinho, you could throw him in there, but who did you mention? Because I didn't mention Savinho.
Yeah, I think you might be a bit surprised by this one, but I went for Aitor Paredes at Athletic. If you remember, we watched him all the way back at the start of this season in the under-21 Euros for Spain. And I didn't look at him and think he was a surefire candidate to come into Athletic and start as a regular in that back line. But Athletic have really leaned on him and Danny Vivian throughout the season. And I never had any doubts about Vivian, but I wasn't sure if Paredes was ready. But by the end of it, we can definitely say that that's one of the... It's been one of the best centre-back duos in the league. Most clean sheets together. They've played most often together. Athletic have only used four different centre-back partnerships this season, which is the joint fewest in La Liga. So they've had to lean on those two players in particular throughout the season to a pretty big extent. So I think the way Paredes has held up in what's been a very successful season, obviously this is La Liga awards, but they won Copa del Rey, backing up a team who were very aggressive from the front. It's not an easy team to play in for a centre-back, but I just think he's done a brilliant job.
That's a really left field shout there. But it does say a whole lot for just how well Athletic Bilbao have played under Ernesto Valverde, and he has obviously renewed now for an extra year. And I'm not entirely sure why there was so much doubt about that, because they've been brilliant. And I won't say it's a pity that they won the Copa del Rey when they did, because obviously that was a trophy for Athletic Club. Any trophy is amazing. And but it kind of has derailed their season a little bit in that it's kind of... they've fallen off since then, and what looked like was going to be a top four challenge has just kind of petered out, and we haven't seen that. But that doesn't take away from what they've done all season. They've been absolutely incredible, and you constantly talk about just how insanely competitive they are every minute that they play. So and I think Paredes is one of the main men driving all that. So I've mentioned another Girona player, which is Artem Dobbik, 17.39 expected goals, which excluding penalties, that is. And yeah, I just think that that's an incredible number. And he's scored 21 goals. Obviously, Sorloth now has more goals than him on the season. But if you look at, if I just pull it up here, so Sorloth has 23 goals and Dobbik has 21, but Artem Dobbik's expected goals, excluding penalties, is 17.31. So probably more in line with how he has actually performed. And he was another player who came in and we did not have a clue what he was going to do or who he was or whether he was even going to play all that much. Both Savinho winning the previous award and me mentioning Dobbik here just speaks to how far-reaching the City Group's talent, their recruitment department reaches, and it's highly unusual that a team without links like City, like Girona have with Citigroup, would pick up two players who have just been out of this world. And obviously Michel has a lot to say about that and how he coaches them and how he has gotten them to compete in the way they have. But I think Dobbik just is a player who couldn't even argue that he has overperformed, because he's been just incredible all season. And another player who I wanted to mention was Kieran Rodriguez. And I know that you expected him to be this good, but just making the step up from Segunda, and the way that Las Palmas have played, he's got 3,402 touches, which leads the league. He's in Spain's preliminary squad for the Euros. He's got the most successful passes in the opposition half, the most successful passes, and the most passes. Even if they are possession passes, simple sideways lateral passes, the fact that he was given that kind of responsibility to orchestrate the team shows how good he is, especially when you take into consideration that this is on a newly promoted team.
Yeah, you know I've been Kieran since day one, so glad to see him get a shout out here. But yeah, I'll keep it brief because it's not going to be the only time I mention Kieran on this episode. So yeah, better than I expected, but I'll keep it brief.
So now, as named by Robbie Dunn, the Jamie Kemp Statistical Anomaly Award goes to...
I think I'm going to surprise you again on this one. I've gone for Oscar Minguesa at Celta Vigo. very weird season for him, because he's been, obviously, he was in the Rafa Benitez era where they weren't very attacking. Now under Giraldez, where they are much more expansive. But despite having played under Benitez for a lot of the season, his chance creation and just progression of play as a defender has been right up there with the best in the league in his position. So his most chances created by a defender from open play and his expected assists is right on a par with Miguel Gutierrez and João Cancelo, who obviously play for much more powerful and more attacking sides. Actually leads the league in progressive passes by quite a distance, which has surprised me a little bit, but not a total shock having watched him play and knowing the way that he can advance the ball as a carrier or a passer. And yeah, I don't think he's a lockdown defender by any means, but I just find him a very interesting player with what he can do on the ball. And it wouldn't surprise me if somebody saw through that, one of the bigger teams, and took him along, because I think he could add a lot. I know we link everybody to Girona these days and say he'd be a good signing for Girona, but yeah, wouldn't surprise me if a team like that actually looked at him and thought, this guy could add a lot for us in possession.
I didn't actually pick anyone for this because this is your award. So as I said, I'd just leave this to you. But it's funny because I have a list of kind of ideas for articles and topics and stuff like that that we discuss and we talk about. And one of the lines that I wrote maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago was, Oscar Mingueza, is he actually any good? Because I was like watching him and I was looking at the stats and I was kind of like, he's involved in so much of what Celta are doing. And I wasn't really convinced of Barcelona, and so many players do leave Barcelona and then kind of haven't been maybe built up, or you just see them wearing the Barcelona jersey and you think that they're going to become more than what they actually are. And Oscar Mingueza has gone to Barcelona, or gone to Celta Vigo, really under the radar. Like, his profile is kind of strange. Like you said, not a lockdown defender, but not like a marauding fullback, wingback either. And I was watching him every time and I was like, he's and then looking at the statistics and it's, I was thinking he's really heavily involved in everything that's happening here. So I think that's a really good shout on the Jamie Kemp Statistical Anomaly Award. And congratulations, Oscar, for winning that one. So yeah, we're going to move on now to the one-man team award. And this one is for the player across La Liga who is most pivotal to his team's success / competence in general.
Yeah, this is the part where I drop in Kyrian Rodriguez. Knowing how close Las Palmas have kind of come to the drop at this final part of the season, I think they probably might have gone if not for Kyrian Rodriguez. Not a player that they signed or anything. It wasn't as if they came into La Liga and brought in this guy to, you know, help them make a jumping level. He's been at the club for a long time. So, like you said, you were surprised at how much better he's been than you expected. And even watching him in these last few seasons leading up to coming to La Liga, I definitely agree. He's definitely grown in this new scenario, new setting, new demands, and just the fact that he's Las Palmas' top scorer this season with 6 goals and the player who's completed the most passes for his team. I've not looked up beyond this season. He's the only player who tops both of those categories for his team in La Liga this season, but I'm going to have a look after this podcast to find out who was the last player to do that in the season, because I've got a feeling it might be Lionel Messi. I don't know for sure. We'll find out. But anyway, Kyrian has just been the nucleus of their football and their biggest source of goals. So I couldn't look past him for this one.
Yeah, I've mentioned someone who, again, this is kind of like an anomaly and kind of a strange one, but Youssef En-Nesyri, who obviously plays for Sevilla, and they have had a season to forget for sure. But he's a player who, just every time you even when you're not watching him and you see, like, he's the one scoring the goals, and he scored 10 goals since coming back from national team duty, and they beat Real Sociedad, he scored a brace. They beat Las Palmas. He scored. Mallorca, they won by a goal and he had an assist. They won 2-1. And there's a lot of points in there. And when you look at there's a lot of points won with his goals in there. And when you consider just how close Sevilla are to the bottom of the table and how dangerous their season looked prior to Nasiri coming in and finding them goals, we have an award coming up called the overhaul, the team award or something like that, and it's about a team that needs an overhaul. But Sevilla are definitely a team that need an overhaul. They're going to get a new manager. They've got a lot of stuff to figure out, but Nasiri has been a fairly consistent, a beacon of hope for them in that in the back end of the season as they kind of struggled with the potential for relegation. So, and he's probably a player who goes underrated a lot of the time. Obviously, he came through at Leganés. He moved from Leganés to Sevilla, and there's always been talk of him moving to bigger clubs and that. And he's an interesting player, kind of gazelle like, tall, skinny, and yeah, he's just a constant threat for Sevilla on a team that has definitely lacked something going forward this season. So, Youssef En-Nesyri, step right up. You've just won the one-man team award from me. Although it doesn't really fit because Isaac Romero has been good too in that, but that's my decision. I'm sticking to it. So, next we have the glue guy award, which is the guy who gets few headlines but has done highly valuable work for his team.
I nicked this one from NBA. Conversation. It tends to get bandied about in that sport as the guy who never gets any headlines, never gets any real attention, but just does. You know when he's on the pitch and when he's not, because the difference is there. Even if you can never quite articulate it, you just know something's not right when this guy is there. So I went for this one. I wouldn't be surprised if you picked the same guy, but I went for Fede Valverde. A guy who I just was desperate to give an award because I know he's not going to fit into any of the orthodox awards for anything he's done this season. But when you think of Real Madrid's, the way they've been defined by team balance this season, the amount of midfield jobs he's done, you don't know whether he's going to be filling in as a situational right wing back, whether he's playing as deep line midfielder, whether he's playing as like a false right winger. He can just do absolutely everything for Real Madrid. And the fact Ancelotti has played him more than anybody else this season across all competitions, I think just sums that up. So his goals numbers have obviously fallen, which is logical given the role he's done. So I think knowing that he's kind of sacrificed himself for the team deserves recognition. And now with Toni Kroos leaving, I think, I don't know whether that's going to, well, obviously it will affect his position, but I wonder whether we'll see him become more of a full-time deep-lying midfielder now to cover the absence of Kroos. But in the words of Kroos himself, he thinks Fede Valverde can be Real Madrid's captain one day. So I won't argue with that.
Yeah, a guy who I picked, and he's not really, someone who they've had to play a whole lot of time without really this season. They've only played without him for 3 times this season, and they haven't played well at all, really. it's kind of hard to put a number on what it is that he does, and maybe I've kind of misinterpreted the award, and you get plenty of arguments about this. But
how dare you?
But someone who I really, really like and who was a driving force behind him getting to the Copa del Rey final was Mallorca's Samu Costa. And maybe it's just because of his competitiveness. Maybe it's just because of how he embodies what Javier Aguirre is about as a coach, and watching him in that Copa del Rey run that Mallorca had, he's just been incredible. So I've gone with him, and yeah, I mean, it's kind of a statistical kind of funny one where he's 3.37 tackles per 90. His interceptions are high, his clearances, aerial duels won really, really high. And he's a player who I think can play at a much, much higher level. And I think I was thinking about this in terms of he's a guy who we're going to probably see making a jump into a slightly better team next season, competing higher end of the table, and who'll fit right in and could be important.
Yeah. Atletico?
That's exactly who I'm thinking. I think he could literally change Atletico Madrid's midfield. And yeah, he's like, and he's just, he's big, tall, big, nasty. He's competitive. I just really enjoyed watching him play. So maybe that should be called the Robbie Enjoys Watching Him Play Award. So yeah, we'll move on now to the kind of team and manager section of the award show. And it's the most enjoyable team award. And I guess we know who's going to win this, no?
Yeah, I took 5 minutes to think about, can I think of a more creative answer than this one? But it's just impossible, really.
I'll give you a guess. It starts with a G, it has six letters in it, and it's not Getafe.
Yeah, it's definitely not Getafe. No disrespect, but yeah, Girona. They're the usually the team. If I've not watched them live, they're the first team that I go to catch up on every single week without fail, pretty much. And even now at this end of the season stage, where there's not a huge amount of tension in a lot of these games, there's a real lack of defending in some of them. Even then, Girona been fantastic to watch. I thought they were great against Valencia at the weekend. Just shifting Valencia's defensive shape all around the pitch, which is no easy feat. But the football is just—it's been a constant that you can count on one hand the number of times you've watched them, and the football has been—I don't know—stagnant or lacking in ideas. The fluency just seems to be there almost every time you watch them. So, yeah, the creativity, the build-up, the rotation of positions, and the talent, as we mentioned, Savio, Dovbik, Ivan Martin, Alex Garcia, so many fun players to watch. And, yeah, it just had to be them.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be an argument there. Even just by virtue of results and where they're sitting on the table, it's been a real joy to watch them and so entertaining. There was a spell then when the defending went out the window and it looked like they might not win enough points to get into the top four. Then they sealed it, and we're going to see them in the Champions League next season. So it was and then aside from the results, which is one thing, and the attacking football, which is one thing, the nuances within Michel's game plan and the players that and how they functioned, like Miguel Gutierrez as that left fullback slash inverted midfielder slash number 10 has been so interesting to watch. And then with Savinho then on that other side, Alex Garcia, who's kind of dipped off, trailed off at the end of the season, but he was a joy to watch for a long time. Daley Blind, his emergence as a leader on the team too, and the players within the system, and then the results. It's just the whole package this season for Girona, minus maybe the defending. But yeah, we'll hope that they fix that next season before they get into the Champions League. So the next award we have is the You Can't Pick Ancelotti or Michel Coach of the Year Award.
Yeah, this is very arbitrary. But again, you could only pick Ancelotti or Michel for this award. So, just to open it up a little bit more and talk about some different coaches, I went for Ernesto Valverde. Obviously, La Liga awards, but it would feel wrong to kind of ignore Copa del Rey and all of this. But even if it was just La Liga, I think the way that he's brought an Athletic team back to their best in the style of football that suits them best as well. So they've been one of the top pressing teams in Europe this season. In La Liga, they're top for high turnovers, goals from high turnovers. percentage of high turnovers ending in goals. That's a real machine now in terms of pressing. And I can, there's parts of their game where I watch them when they have to break down deep blocks and they struggle a bit more, but I think that's something that can come next season and in future seasons. For now, he's got an athletic team back to their absolute essence as direct, fast, you know, super aggressive. And a lot of the players have taken steps forward. You think a guy like Guru Setter, the performance he's gotten out of him this season, and the way he's played that false nine role to a T, chapeau to Ernesto.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone who I mentioned, I could obviously mention Ernesto Valverde, but someone who I think has come in and completely turned their season around during a season that looked like it could have spiraled completely out of control is Marcelino. So it would be at Real. He's played 24 games with them. They won 11 of those, a 46% win percentage, and has got them back into European contention. And aside from that, he's brought hope back into that team, and a team that's generally fun to watch, has got some really good young players. And even we saw Sorloth the other day scoring four goals against Real Madrid in an unbelievable match. But you mentioned him on Twitter the other day about Mosquera. I think a good summer now and they could be back to being the Villarreal that was competing for Europe under Unai Emery and who were a mainstay and really enjoyable to watch. So I would probably give it to Marcelino. He hasn't been there that long, although 24 games is plenty. But yeah, Ernesto Valverde and a manager who I was going to mention in this, but I'll actually mention him for the next award, which is the Menos to Mas Award, which is from Less to More Award, which is a team who started off really, really poorly and all of a sudden are finishing the season and feeling pretty good about themselves. Who did you have in this one?
Yeah, I guess it had to be Villarreal in that sense. Definitely the team who've had the biggest contrast, I would say, in performance from first half to second half. Of course, there are other candidates, but Villarreal, they just look a very good team all of a sudden and should be someone who we can expect to fight for top four again next season, because the trajectory is there. Marcelino's not had a lot to work with. He's only brought in a handful of players himself to work with, but the performances are very good. And I don't know about you, but I kind of falsely thought when he came in it was going to be quite a counter-attacking style. That's what I associate with Marcelino, but their positional play, the way they've moved the ball, I think has been much better than I expected. And he's adapted to the players he's got rather than trying to force a counter-attacking style on them. So we've seen, as you mentioned, Sorloth has been, his goal return is absolutely incredible, and he looks like a real all-round striker at the moment. But Alex Baena, I think Marcelino's got him back to his best level. So if they can keep this squad intact and not lose any of those key players this summer, they could be a really good team next season and another strong addition to a Champions League race.
And someone who I wanted to mention in here was Celta Vigo, who hired Claudio Giraldez, and he's been in charge now for 9 games, which isn't that long, obviously. But I just think, given the circumstances, he came in after Rafa Benitez left, and they were honestly like looking like a team that were going to have 3 teams worse than them, because they weren't going to be able to get like climb themselves out of the relegation places. But Claudio Giraldez has come in, they've backed him as a complete 360 from what Rafa Benitez is doing, and they are playing expansive football now. He brought in a couple of young lads and kind of made Celta Vigo relevant again in terms of how they were playing. Obviously, as I just said, the young players and their expected goals per game played under Claudio Giraldez, 1.66, and that would be enough if that was on over a season. It would be fifth in the league behind Xavi's Barcelona, Carlo Ancelotti's Real Madrid, Michel and Girona, and then, funnily enough, Vicente Moreno and Almeria. But I think that Giraldez has given them a platform now where they can go into the summer and think, okay, we can back this guy. He's going to promote youth, and they can start looking up at the top half of the table again next season. Hopefully they're able to invest in the squad for him, and he can get some players that'll suit his style more. But I think they can be feeling pretty good now as June approaches.
The young players that he's brought through as well have been really good, which is really exciting for the fans, I think, because we mentioned before on the pod about Celta fans complaining about the fact their academy has not produced enough for the first team, even though the talent has been there. And when they've left, they've gone on to generally show that there is talent there worthy of making it to the first team. So, yeah, Hugo Alvarez, Damian in midfield, who've just come in, looks really good. And I think they're trying to bring back Iker Losada from Segunda, the Segunda Division. Division. I never quite know whether to say division or division. But yeah, I think just seeing Giraldez there, the young manager who's back in youth, if that could bring a guy like Losada back, I think that would bode very well for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be a really interesting summer, because we can kind of get onto that now. We have the Overhaul Time Award, which is a team that basically has shown us enough evidence this season to suggest that it is time to just overhaul completely the squad. And the team that I picked for this is Atletico Madrid. But then as I looked into the numbers, I was kind of committed to this, because I just feel like there's something not really adding up here in how well they can play and what they're trying to do on the ball and just how dreadful they've been defensively. But then their expected goals against per game isn't actually as bad as the goals that they've conceded would suggest. And that loss against Osasuna really put a point on it for me. Now, they've made top four, their season is over, I get that. But it just, there's been too many times this season where they've forgotten how to defend. And okay, you can't live in the past and think that Simeone isn't going to evolve, and he doesn't have to evolve and try to play a more modern game. But some of the basics of defending, like in reality, they should have beaten Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League. And I know this is La Liga, but just the Champions League collapse, and it's almost not talked about enough in some ways. But at the same time, I think there is an understanding there from basically everyone that there's something just not adding up here.
Yeah, I saw Keder Nasser list. They made a list of all the players Atletico looking to move on this summer. I think it was on last night's show, and it's a very long list, if that's to be believed. So I think you might be right in the fact there's an overhaul coming there. I do agree. Of course, there should be an overhaul, although I am a bit worried to see what they look like on the other side of it, because I'm not sure what the finances are going to be like to undergo that process. I would put it this way. I'm not picking anybody but Real Madrid to win the title next season. But at the same time, I'm losing faith in the idea that Atletico should be expected to fight for the title at this point, because, again, Atletico's best player is Antoine Griezmann, who is not getting any younger. Who's their next best player after Antoine Griezmann? It's not an easy... Yeah, I mean, I would almost say Samu Lino at this point. And again, he's had one decent season at Atletico. Obviously, more to come from him. But again, you compare what they've got in attack against the other sides, and then compound that with the fact they're not defending like they used to, because they either don't have the pieces or for whatever reason, it's just not working. So, again, yeah, I'm a bit worried for Atletico this summer, to be honest.
And I do think that Simeone, I don't think it's mentioned enough in that you look at the Premier League title race right now, okay? And you've got Rodri, who is... since Man City have won the league, and I don't watch a lot of the Premier League, I watch a little bit, and I kind of know what's going on. But I do know that Rodrigo has been absolutely incredible. Argument to be made that he could win a Ballon d'Or, he's been so good. Atletico Madrid lost him as their future number five. He was supposed to be the player who was going to solidify their midfield and whatever. And then Thomas Partey for Arsenal, okay, he's kind of lost maybe his importance with Arsenal since Declan Rice came along, and he is getting older himself. But they lost him too. And that's two of the best number fives in the world who are now competing with the two best teams in the world. Okay, obviously Real Madrid are probably the best team in the world. Whatever the argument is, in the best league in the world, we could say the two best teams have two of Atletico Madrid's former number fives, and Atletico Madrid have struggled ever since that. And you mentioned Griezmann, they're getting older, stuff like that. Koke as well is a player who's trying to be asked to do just too much, and I think that midfield needs an overhaul, and it's going to be a very interesting summer because obviously economic constraints and it's going to take a complete overhaul. And how many pieces can you actually change while hoping to maintain some semblance of competitiveness? And I think that you're spot on there when you said that the idea that they should be challenging for La Liga should be probably thrown out the window until they can figure this out and improve their squad and get back to playing. It is a coherent style. Like, you can see what Simeone is trying to do. It's just that the pieces aren't there at the moment. So yeah, they're just an overhaul. And then just to finish up.
Sorry, I just realized I'd never picked my overhaul time award.
sorry.
If it can be called an award, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, overhaul time. yeah, I did. I was close to picking Atletico as well, but I expected you'd take them as well. So I thought I'll say Sevilla instead, because just knowing Victor Orta is in the door there now, ahead of his first summer, he's a guy, if I can just speak on his experience at Leeds, he only ever reached for a defensive manager when the team was in real trouble in terms of relegation. So I remember when Leeds brought in Sam Allardyce, there were reports at the time that said, you know, if Allardyce is the guy the chairman wants, then I'm going to leave, because I will not be here for a Sam Allardyce reign. So just thinking that, I reckon Sevilla will be on the hunt for a more, not possession-based manager, but a manager with more attacking ideals. Somebody who wants to control games more than Kike Sanchez Flores. I don't think he's done a bad job, really, by any means. He's kept them up. They look fairly stable, but the style of play is just not something I would want to get behind across the long term for Sevilla. So they've averaged 47% possession under Sanchez Flores since he came in, which is the lowest octave on record for a Sevilla manager with 20 games in charge. So again, I just think it's a style they don't want to get behind in the long term, and the type of players you'd have to recruit for that are not the ones I think they'll want to invest a lot of money in, to be honest.
And it would have been easy for them to just stick with Kike Sanchez Flores. Like you said, he's gotten them to a place of stability now. It would have been just easy to say, look, we're going to renew for a year and we'll rebuild the squad while Kike Sanchez Flores is in charge and see where we go from here. But it was quite bold to say, no, we're going to start this project newly with fresh manager in charge, and it's going to be interesting now to see who they go with, because there's been a load of different mentions of players, Jacobo Arasate, players like managers like that. So and I just wanted to mention the teams that are going to be going through an overhaul this summer. Sevilla, we don't know about Las Palmas yet, so but I would assume that Garcia Pimienta isn't going to stay on there. Or do you know any different?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, to be honest. They've been asking him for weeks whether he's going to stay, and he never really... He just says, I'm not worried about my future, but I don't see it happening, to be honest. Yeah, there were reports of it. Yeah, Sevilla that had actually inquired about him. I don't know whether how much is in that, but yeah, I don't think he'll stay, to be honest.
In terms of confirmed managerial departures, you've got Sevilla, you've got Osasuna, you've got Mallorca, and then potentially Barcelona, and potentially, like I said, Las Palmas, a couple of different potential job opportunities coming up, and then the three teams that are going to be coming up from La Liga. So we're going to be paying close attention to that during the summer with the Euros going on, with the Segunda playoffs going on. And yeah, just I think that we have a pretty big summer coming up. I think, yeah, we'll leave it there for this edition of the La Pausa Pod Alternative Award Show.
Yeah, Alternative Awards Report.
Yeah, something like that. I think it'll do. Okay, so yeah, from myself and Jamie here at La Pausa Pod HQ, it is adios.